The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Hey, say a little prayer, will you, for the Philadelphia police officer as he recovers this morning, sustaining injuries while on duty along the Schuylkill Expressway, protecting and serving. Witnesses reporting the officer initially knocked unconscious after an SUV driver struck his motorcycle. I'm being told he's in stable condition as he recovers. He was on duty, like I say, riding his motorcycle with the police department's ATV dirt bike detail. Somebody driving an SUV struck him. That SUV driver stayed on the scene and all of that, but it happened westbound lanes near University Avenue in University City. Like I say, late last night, that investigation still taking place overnight. And then officers working with that ATV detail. They're usually, you see them traveling in groups with these little, and they're trying to combat all these little dirt bags, whatever you want to call them, on dirt bikes that really wreak havoc across our city. And so these officers in the ATV detail usually travel in groups, wearing the helmets, safety gear, etc. They say that, like I say, the driver remained on the scene that struck him. But there are laws. If you see any law enforcement or even anybody, even in construction, you know, the new laws say move over, get out of that lane, give them the space you need. It sounds like a horrible accident. I don't know if the SUV driver is going to be charged, but I couldn't help but think about the officer whose wife we've gotten to know quite well with Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation. That's Andy Chan. Think about, he was on that motorcycle. You know, these, whether they're in a vehicle, any vehicle, on duty, but they put their lives at risk. And here's another one. So Godspeed as he recovers this morning. Thank God he survived it. But the report is, you know, with some level of head injuries. And so we just are thinking about him this morning. Just wanted to put that out there. Well, I want to get to this story because when I hear RFK Jr. speak in his grovelly voice and he makes this announcement, I get concerned, and I'm sure you do too, when we think about vaccines. And so I want to be proper with this. And Dan Borowski's back, so we have to welcome him back. Everybody, YouTube chat. Hi. Hey, Dan.
Nice
welcome
to be back. Thank
Borowski.
You. It's very nice to be back.
We miss Dan Borowski, our executive producer. Now, I didn't say anything other than you were on special assignment.
Oh, okay. I like the mystery.
So a little
I appreciate
mystery.
That, yeah.
So we'll tease that. Dan can tell us.
I will reveal at some point
today.
Special
assignment.
Yes.
It was very special. But, you know, for those of us in the Philadelphia region, when we were going through the pandemic and, you know, it was a scary time. And obviously they scared the heck out of us, didn't they? And here in the city of Philadelphia, I hate to bring you back to this dark place. Remember Jim Kenney, our mayor at the time, and remember Governor Tom Wolf, who, you know, the Pennsylvania voted him back. I mean, we made sure that we pulled back the executive powers of the governor here in Pennsylvania because it was overreach and it was awful. Businesses shut down and we still are recovering, right, because of what they did to us. And they were Democrats. Let's just be real about it. But it was an awful time. And so at the time, my youngest son, David, in middle school, and because it's a Catholic, you know, school, Norwood Fompon Academy, but we were told in the city, hey, if you want your kid in person, there was real pressure. Everybody's got to get vaccinated. And so we had we were Pfizer, so it was actually two shots. He was the last one we held out, but we were pressured. And we were told this was completely safe. Well, now RFK comes out and he says, do you have that off of Greg's? We just played it at the end of Kale and Company, but you know, for those of us who were forced to get this, I don't even care about myself. I always say I'm polluted anyway. I'm so healthy, knock wood, but it's pretty amazing. But for David, especially, and for if you have young kids or grandkids and your godkids, kids in your life, you know, they had this. And now you hear RFK Jr. say this.
Hi, it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. here, your HHS secretary. At HHS, we have a division called the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, or BARDA. BARDA drives some of our most advanced scientific research. It funds developments of vaccines, drugs, diagnostics, and other tools to fight emerging diseases and national health threats. Over the past few weeks, BARDA reviewed 22 mRNA vaccine development investments and began canceling them. Let me explain why. Most of these shots are for flu or COVID, but as the pandemic showed us, mRNA vaccines don't perform well against viruses that infect the upper respiratory tract. Here's the problem. mRNA only codes for a small part of the viral proteins, usually a single antigen. One mutation and the vaccine becomes ineffective. This dynamic drives a phenomenon called antigenic shift, meaning that the vaccine paradoxically encourages new mutations and can actually prolong pandemics as the virus constantly mutates to escape the protective effects of the vaccine. Millions of people, maybe even you or someone you know,
yes,
caught the Omicron variant despite being vaccinated. That's because a single mutation can make mRNA vaccines ineffective. The same risk applies to flu. After reviewing the science and consulting top experts at NIH and FDA, HHS has determined that mRNA technology poses more risk than benefits for these respiratory viruses.
Okay, stop it. Stop it right there. Stop it right there. So when he says poses more risk, to me, then I'm saying, okay, is the risk that it really doesn't protect you because it's going to mutate anyway? And okay, I'm okay with that, right? I'm okay with that kind of risk. But he's saying a lot of big medical terms that I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical professional, but he keeps talking about this word risk. Now, if he came out and basically said that they're not as effective, but here's what he didn't really point out. And that is they're keeping a lot of and allowing to run the course to preserve some of the taxpayer investment. They're still doing final stage contracts with a lot of this mRNA technology. So that's in their, they released this long, I won't bore you, but it's with their press release. And so they're saying no new mRNA based projects will be initiated. Okay. And then they're canceling, like he said, about $500,000 worth of these 22 projects with the newer stuff. And if he had said to me, hey, pharmaceuticals that make billions and billions of dollars, I just reported yesterday, remember that 14 point something billion in the last quarter, just the last quarter. Okay. That was the profit report out of just Pfizer. So these are very wealthy pharmaceutical companies. They certainly can pay for privately for their own research if they want to continue on with some of this stuff. Okay, UBU, I get it. Cost cutting, $500 million. We, the taxpayers, we don't have to pay for it. They can afford it. Okay, I'm cool with that. But he keeps saying that word risk. And that's what concerns me because he's not a medical professional. So this was, to me, if you just read the press release, which I printed out here from, and anybody can look at it as it says, HHS winds down mRNA vaccine development under BARDA, B-A-R-D-A. I'm cool with that to say you're looking at all the investment. That's fine. I get that, okay? But when he keeps saying the word risk over and over in his statement, then it's more than, to me, it sounds like I infer from him, it's more than the effective nature of the vaccine. And that's where the bells and whistles go off, especially because it's, you know, my kid. It's, I always say to myself, yeah, I remember I went to the locally to the convention center. National Guard was here. We were packed in there. We got the number. I still have all the paperwork and everything. And you had that stupid cardboard, you know, COVID vaccine thing that they didn't even have it digital. Remember that, Dan?
Yeah. Remember people were getting it laminated?
Yeah. And then they said, don't laminate it. And then if you wanted to go to a restaurant, remember that? You had to get the HVAC guy.
Yeah. Meanwhile, our mayor was escaping to another state to go enjoy a nice box of wine.
In Maryland, having the Prosecco. The Prosecco in a box. Like, give me a break.
Yep.
So to me, that's my real question. I know you had, who was it, Dr. Sullivan talking about this? We've covered this ad nauseum, but I don't know how I feel about this because on one hand, I think that he causes more panic than is necessary because my heart like jumped out of my chest when Greg Stocker played that earlier, because I'm thinking, OMG, I had my kid vaccinated because I really did at the end of the day trust, like both my sons were, and how many millions of kids. And now he's saying risk. What the heck is he talking about? So this is what, Dr. Sullivan testifying?
Yeah, so I have Dr. Sullivan who testified in front of Ron Johnson and others when they did this oversight hearing on coronavirus. And this was the concerned parents. Remember, parents, they brought in people that were affected by long coronavirus and other vaccine-related injuries. And we played this before, but revisiting it now because it seems that this really was one of the cornerstone moments for this new passage here. Take a listen.
Dr. Sullivan is a licensed physician and board-certified anesthesiologist over 20 years of active practice in Maryland. He is here today to talk about his vaccine injury following his COVID-19 injection. Dr. Sullivan.
Thank you, senators. My story is not as bad. The same month I received my first COVID mRNA shot, I was featured in the Wall Street Journal's What's Your Workout column for Aerial Circus Arts. I was strong, healthy, and thriving. Just 3 weeks after my second dose, I couldn't go up a flight of stairs without gasping for air. I became short of breath doing even simple things, walking, standing, even speaking. I had constant chest pressure, arrhythmias, and overwhelming fatigue. I cannot overstate the misery. It felt like my body was failing me. I was experiencing right heart failure. Still, I questioned myself. Was this real or in my head? Then an echocardiogram confirmed the damage. I was relieved that it wasn't imagined and stunned to realize. This is how I likely die. The diagnosis was pulmonary hypertension. I had damage and narrowing of the blood vessels in my lungs, restricting blood flow and straining the heart. This isn't like regular high blood pressure. Pulmonary hypertension is usually progressive and fatal even with treatment. There is no cure. It felt like a death sentence. I reported my case to VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Most doctors I know had never heard of it. Fewer understood that it carries mandatory reporting requirements. I was never taught about VAERS in medical school. I'm told it still isn't. Eventually, VAERS collected my medical records. I expected to hear from the FDA or CDC. I never did. I believed in the system. I believed I would be heard. When I wasn't, I channeled that disbelief into collaborating with the British Medical Journal on a report about the system's failures. What I learned is chilling. If you are harmed, you are on your own. I've had to adapt. Maybe some of the novel treatments I tried helped. On the outside, I look fine. I returned to running, even to aerial arts. That brings me joy, but also unease. I've lost half my lung capacity. If I can look this normal while carrying that much damage, how many others are out there suffering silently?
And so I have a million questions about this now, hearing that our government officials and HHS and RFK Jr., he's reading from prompter and he's reading off of that. And there's a long, press conference and all the paperwork that you can look up. But the bottom line is that they're saying this word risk with this. And then there were reports, just like Dr. Sullivan is saying, that in some rare cases, these different lung diseases characterized by inflammation as well as scarring of the lung tissue reported cases linked to mRNA vaccines.
Do you want that? I do have that audio.
Yeah, let's hear that, and I'll explain why it's personal for me.
Here's some more from Dr. Sullivan.
In researching my condition, I found the Georgetown scientist who predicted my specific problem. The very same month of the vaccine rollout, he warned that spike protein exposure, whether from the virus or from the shot, could harm the blood vessels in the lungs and placenta. Spike protein itself from the SARS-1 virus, SARS-1, also caused vascular damage in animals. I learned many hospitalized COVID patients develop pulmonary hypertension. Autopsies showed the same kind of lung vessel damage I had. Long COVID patients with persistent breathlessness have the same findings. As in my case, their symptoms improve, but the damage remains. We now know the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein can damage the lungs, heart, and brain in animals. It is toxic, irrefutably so. I know that's uncomfortable to hear. One study found athletes who got mRNA boosters saw drops in aerobic capacity equivalent to aging 5 to 10 years in just 1 week. Why is this?
So these are great questions that I want to know. So a couple of questions I have with it. Remember I told you about my sister-in-law, Kathleen. So she had been diagnosed, and she's still going through this. They thought at some point she had lung cancer. Remember I reported that to you, and I said, please pray for her. Well, now it comes out that they said it's severe scarring of her lung tissue. It's, in fact, not cancer. What does that sound like? It sounds exactly like what Dr. Sullivan is talking about. Now, she's somebody, longtime school teacher, mom, grandmother, right, and did not want to get the COVID vaccine. And the family, you know, one of her relatives actually drove her and said, Mom, you got to get this vaccine. And she got the vaccine. So you see where I'm going here. For all of us now, we're being told that there was a risk to this. So my youngest son with asthma, all the health problems he's had, and some of these similar things, and you're thinking, and he recently said, you know, I just always feel like my brain's in a cloud. What does that sound like? So there's all this guilt. But where I'm going with this is that, you know, we were told, we were ordered by our government, by local businesses who said, you know, you can't have your employees come to work in person. Kids can't go to school. We can't thrive, et cetera, et cetera. This is a class action lawsuit against those in certain places that said, you must get this and it's safe. And in fact, a lot of people pushed back and said, it's only emergency approved. And I don't want it for my kid or myself, but we were forced to. I know college kids, they said, when you go back to school, you must have this vaccine. So if this is true, and I don't know what's true or what's not true, but you can see where all of us are thinking, OMG, with this big lie, this is very personal for all of us. So what is the truth? What are these damages? And what are you, local government, state government, federal government, what are you going to do about it to repay us? Because quite frankly, this is really the equivalent of, to me, justification for a class action lawsuit to say, you guys damaged our lives, our children moving forward, and you don't even fully know the effects, but you forced us to get this. And so how are you going to pay governments and municipalities that forced us to do this and lied to us, basically, and told us, or at the very least, told us something that it was safe when, in fact, you didn't really know. And now you do know, apparently, because the government has done all these studies. And so what are you going to do for my kid or my relatives or my family members throughout the rest of their lives to pay for their health care or to possibly reverse this alleged damage? So I'm furious about it. I'm upset about it. Or did RFK Jr. come out and say something that he should not have said because he's not a doctor? So I'm not siding with anybody. But I'll tell you what. You mess with my kids in particular, you mess with my family, I don't care about politics. I don't care about anything else. To me, the rest of the world is like shut out. I just want to know, what are you going to do to fix this or answer this? But you've got some explaining to do. That's where I'm going.
Question for you. Is that grounds for a workers' comp claim if your employer forced you to get a vaccine and you end up having effects of the mRNA vax? Like, it opens up all these Pandora's boxes of questions, you know?
So, and I'm just saying, it's not for me. I'm fine. Look at, knock wood, but it's in my lifetime, I was thinking about the times I've been sick. I might get a little something with a stomach thing or whatever, but mm-hmm. It's not a long term autoimmune. But these people have, in my, you know, both of my sons, essentially, they have these autoimmune illnesses that they've been diagnosed with during COVID. Okay. And then my sister-in-law with this thing that sounds exactly like what he's describing. So it's not for myself, but for what Dan's saying, I would think the employer would say, well, we were responding to what the government told us that you're not allowed to open up your business unless you force to and pressure your employees to get this. It all goes back on the government and the local municipality. That's where I'm going with it. So I have a million questions for this, but I'm very serious. that it's, to me, this is horrible. And any way you look at it, we the people deserve answers. And if there's research on this, I want to see every piece of that research. And I will say this about RFK Jr. When he uses that word risk, then he needs to step aside and have the highest, best, you know, medical professionals and scientists explain that in full. Because it's not enough for him to just do that. He's not a doctor. He's not a medical professional. I understand that he's an attorney who talked about environmental issues and fought that in court valiantly. And I understand he's a, you know, highly intelligent person. But on this issue, I want to hear from a doctor. So I won't rest until I tell Will. So I'll just say, Dr. Maz. I immediately was like, Dr. Maz. And Greg said, well, I'll, you know, reach out. But I think a lot of doctors, Dan, probably don't want to come on, and they want to know. They want to have access as well to read this and study this. The smartest doctor I know in the air, who's really a brilliant guy because he's, what, a doctor and a lawyer. But, you know, Anthony Mazzarelli, who's
awesome guy,
part of our family here at PhD and the medical community. We love Dr. Maz, but he is, like, seriously the smartest doctor I know. So I would love to hear
really
from
is.
Him.
Another really smart doctor, though. Maybe we haven't heard from her in a while. Another Dr. Maz. Dr. Maz. Mary Maz.
Yeah. Yes. I'd love to hear what she has to say about it.
Yeah.
Could get Marion, too. She's back from her family wedding.
Ooh.
Pictures online are beautiful.
That. We do have some callers, too, I have to get into.
Do you want to? What should I do?
I have to take a break, though.
We have to. I'm sorry.
We have to hear from WISFIS, if you have that.
Yes. We have to talk about WISFIS. Because WISFIS is our sponsor this hour as we answer questions, as we take your calls here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Thank you for being here today, 855-839-1210. So WISFIS Bank and Bryn Mawr Trust, where there's a WISFIS, there's a way at WSFS Bank and Bryn Mawr Trust. Your goals matter. So discover your local expertise with national capabilities, all with the personal service you deserve. WSFS, we stand for service. Thank you for sponsoring this beginning of the Dawn Stenslin Show. Thank you, WISFIS. Thank you, Bryn Mawr Trust. Quick break, your calls. Be right back. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, getting to your calls, concerns over the winding down by HHS of the mRNA vaccine development under the BARDA program, which was in part of the Rapid Response Partnership vehicle. And to me, again, if they had just come out and said, this is financial, the gravy train is over. We kicked this off during a pandemic. Remember that? It incentivized the private sector of pharmaceuticals to compete and do this in warp speed. Okay. But that's, you know, when they talk about the risk of this thing, what the heck does that mean? Your response is, let's get to Dwayne in Valley Forge. Hey, Dwayne.
Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning.
Forgive me if I get a little emotional, but I have a loved one who was in an assisted living facility in Westchester, and Governor Wolf and the Admiral brought the COVID into the police, and he caught it, but he beat it back. He was tough. He spent his whole life serving this country. He had the antibodies. He beat it back, but they gave him the follow-up booster. And in a few months, Dawn, we lost him to congestive heart failure.
I'm so sorry. And see, this is exactly what I'm talking about, Dwayne. I'm so sorry for your loss, and we appreciate you calling in. And we're going to say a prayer for you, Dwayne, because that's what I mean. When you hear RFK Jr. come out and talk about the risk of this mRNA and then does not really explain it or have a medical professional there, I have so many more questions. If they had just said, hey, this is about investment and shifting money elsewhere, I'm totally cool with that. I want to get to Bill in Montgomery County, who has a comment as well. We're getting a lot of calls. Hey, Bill.
Yep. Hey, Dawn and Dan. How are you this morning?
We're good. Dan's back.
Hey.
Yeah, there he's back. Yes. Yeah, hey, I just want to make a comment. I work for a big pharma company, Hyperlocal, you would know the name.
Yes.
And I was in research and development. We were told, even in casual cocktail conversation, to never say that any of our products were safe. So for the COVID vaccine to be touted as being safe goes against, you know, like I said, any of my experience in big pharma. I had the good fortune to go from that big pharma company to a medical school. And this was back in 2010 during H1N1. Went to a lecture from an epidemiologist that had a department of epidemiology. And this H1N1 was supposed to be COVID and didn't turn out to be. But this epidemiologist predicted there would be a big one. And he said that the way that will go is that it will eventually the virus will stop killing the host because it wants to survive. It's Darwinism. And it wants to propagate the species so it'll become more contagious. So he said that any potential pandemic eventually is going to be less virulent, not, like I said, less lethal, but it's going to spread more. And that's exactly what happened with COVID. But we were not told any of that. That was really glossed over, that this thing is going to run its course and it's going to be just like having a cold. Yeah. So we were really lied to all across the board.
See, and that's what I, you know, as we hear more and more about this, it was this great lie. And did they know? What did they know? When did they know it? And what does the research show now? And moving forward, what is the government going to invest in then to possibly reverse some of the damage? And that's the claim here by a lot of people that, in fact, this mRNA vaccine damaged some people, depending on, you know, where you were. I'll point to you, and Bill, I thank you so much, especially working in the pharmaceutical and medical communities. Really appreciate you, Bill. Dwayne, we're saying a prayer to you. But this just opens up so many questions for me as I think about this and how it, I want to hear more. I want to know more. I want to know everything about every study. But in all seriousness, they need to now invest in technology to say, okay, if during COVID you were newly diagnosed with some type of autoimmune disease, and some of them very serious, and both of my sons were, and many of you were, many of your family members. And so moving forward, especially for underage children in school at the time, okay, what is the government doing then to set aside funds to pay for this, pay for the care of people, the medical care throughout their lives to treat them? Because that's really what they owe us. If indeed this is all true, then that's what we, our kids, grandkids deserve. I just have to go back to my dad. I really do. 90 years young. And he was so stubborn. And he said, absolutely not. I'm not going to get vaccinated. Not going to happen. I've lived through a lot. And he never did. He did catch COVID, but he really was not all that sick. He was hospitalized and, of course, loved it because he loved the nurses. He said, I think the nurses really want to flirt with me, honey. And they, you know, kept me 5 days just to make sure. Like, that's my dad. He's like so jolly. And he was like, I cheered him up. It was a tough time for the doctors and the nurses. That's my dad, but he's perfectly fine. And so, you know, now he looks like a genius for those of you. But then for the rest of us, hearing the HHS secretary come out and say this, RFK Jr., I just want more information. So we'll leave it there for now. I will revisit. You know, we're trying to get some smart doctors, medical professionals in the science community to break this down and what research is out there so that we can, in a wise, careful way, talk about this because it's upsetting. You know, that's what I said when I heard that the news conference. I just, like I say, my heart just jumped out of my body and just thinking, oh my goodness. And then your guilt, right? For those loved ones, just like Dwayne was saying, or for me as a parent, we feel guilty. Well, why didn't I listen to my dad or et cetera? So I know we're having many of these conversations. And so I'm not getting political. This is not political to me in the sense that we deserve to know, we deserve answers. And perhaps many, many millions perhaps deserve damages, money in damages is what I'm talking about, monetary repayment. So we'll get to all of it. I have to break. So right around the corner, remember our friend Neil Young, an educator, ran a, you know, great, great guy. And I know many of you met him at so many of our events as he took his bus tour. Neil Young.
A singer?
Well, I don't know if Neil sings. He says he doesn't, but I bet he does. He's a local, you know, great husband, father, community member, a longtime teacher and coach, and he ran against Chrissy Houlihan, remember, in Chester and Berks counties. Great guy. And everybody said, oh, she's, but yo, we like her, and she's this. Well, I'm going to tell you what she's up to, and we'll revisit, kind of reacquaint yourself with Neil Young. Hopefully that was his first of many runs, because I think he has a bright future, of course. Great guy. You want to hear from what he has to say coming right up. So I promise we will revisit with a medical professional, great doctor. We will revisit that issue because I know we're getting a lot of calls and reaction on the mRNA, the announcement from HHS. But you hear Neil Young. Got to get a little flavor of the music.
You think he plays harmonica too?
Wouldn't it be great if you had, imagine a teacher with his own bus. Like, how cool is that? First of all, that's the best teacher ever, to have his own bus. And if he plays the harmonica, and then as well, he coaches wrestling. Pretty cool guy.
It is.
That's a cool guy. I think he should be a congressman someday. Hey, Neil.
Hey, Dawn, how you doing?
I'm good. You know, the other day I was thinking of, you know, I was like, what's we saw you at the great event with all of us.
Oh, yeah, out there here. In Phoenix,
yeah, the great Politics and Pines funny event, great event. Oh, well, I'm thinking of Rich Zioli was funny with he and Dom going back and forth about the sauce and the gravy. But it was great to see you. And thank you. We all became like buddies because during the, you know, when you were running for Congress as an educator who wanted to head to Washington, and you, that's really tough on a shoestring budget. You had a ton of support, really grassroots campaign. And I had so many, I told you that one day a relative called me, I'm behind Neil and his bus. So
wonder what gave that away.
I know.
one day when we have time, I'll play you all the angry voicemails we used to get. That as a campaign team, we just sit around and laugh because, you know, you're taking up 5 parking spaces and, you know, your speakers are too loud. I'd be just really funny stuff. I can't imagine people calling, but it was really entertaining.
So we thought about you when we heard about the person you were running up, that you were taking on, you were challenging Chrissy Houlihan, who everybody said, oh, well, she's such a nice lady. And people don't know the issues, and that's, we got to get them educated. But in this one, we thought of you because she was speaking out as she was talking about the Texas Democrats. As now, by the way, the latest headline, just to update all of you, is that the FBI may have to get involved, or is, I know that Senator John Cornyn of Texas sent a letter to the FBI Director Kash Patel imploring him to take appropriate steps to help Texas law enforcement in locating and arresting Democrats who fled the state of Texas, went to Chicago, which I hope that they don't. I mean, Chicago's crime rate's pretty violent, so I don't know that I would head to Chicago of all places from Texas, but maybe they're trying to beat the heat. But we just thought of you to react to, you know, Chrissy Houlihan is now speaking out about this as she's the representative in, you know, you were challenging, like I say, but she's speaking out on this, Neil. And we wanted to get your reaction to her supporting these Democrats because she does not support any kind of, or apparently she thinks that it's wrong to do gerrymandering. And that's really what this is about. This is about Democrats upset that Republicans are now doing exactly what, you know, all these politicians, whoever's in control, but Democrats literally invented gerrymandering, right? We've seen it in our region. Yeah. It's nothing new, but they're losing their minds now because Republicans are basically going to play their game. So I just wanted to give you an opportunity to react to all of this.
Yeah. I mean, isn't this like, I mean, this is the epitome of why people are fed up with politics and politicians. Because here you have people who ran to serve the public, and instead of actually, listen, somebody has to have the majority in state houses and in state senates, and instead of just accepting that their agenda has been rejected by the voters, they play these, they essentially take their ball and they don't go home. They take their ball and they run away. And it's just, it's the epitome of just stalling and not representing the people. And you can represent people even if you're in the minority party, you can represent them well. And this is, by nobody's standards, representing them well. And I think the idea of gerrymandering, it gets, any time lines are redrawn, which they're constitutionally mandated to be redrawn, you're going to have each party claim gerrymandering. And the truth of the matter is we have districts change because populations change, and we want, you know, we want those districts to be best representative, both in geography and in population. And so they're redrawn. And there's processes in place. It varies by state, but there's processes in place that make it essentially, you know, as fair as possibly as it can possibly be. And so this is just, this is Democrats taking the ball and running away.
Yes. So Chrissy Houlihan, who you ran against here locally, she said gerrymandering is not the way to win elections. Doing what's right for America is. First of all, as an educator, right, do you end the sentence with is?
No. And I'll tell you something else. I'm not an English teacher. I wouldn't be very good at that. However, I do know that one. I do know that one. But the other thing is, whenever you hear politicians use these words, to be clear, that means I'm going to say something that's really unclear, and I just want you to know that I'm saying it with strong conviction. Because you don't need to say to be clear. Just be clear.
Yeah.
Just actually be clear in your words and your language, and then you don't have to say to be clear. So don't end a sentence with is, and don't start it with to be clear.
Wise words from Neil Young. So what are you up to, and are you going to run again someday? What's going on with you?
I'll tell you, man, it was an incredible ride. It was an unbelievable run. I met, for the most part, some of the best people I've ever met in my life. I took many of the people who I've, you know, I've had lifelong relationships with. I took them on this journey with me, and they loved every minute of it. They love me for it. And they're also exhausted. so they say, we love you. We're up for another run, but The truth is, I've got to, I've got many opportunities. I'm not right now. I don't have any sort of direction that I'm leaning. I'm having important conversations with the right people. I know that this is a vague answer, mm-hmm. but if you give me, maybe have me on in a couple weeks.
Okay.
I will have a clearer answer for you. But I'm in the process of talking with the right people about where would my skill set be best used. And to be quite honest, when I say skill set, we all have it. And I fully believe that we should all use it, and more of us should consider using it in public service. So I've been able to really just to raise that message to, especially to young people. I hear all the time, I hate politics, or, you know, this or that. And it's like, you don't realize how much it impacts your life. What you hate is you hate the conflict, and you hate the deception. But the only way to change that is to have better people that are representing us. And, and that's a message for everybody, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's a beautiful message. So we'll check back in with you.
Ed on YouTube, Dawn says, please try again, Neil. We need you more now than ever than in Chester. Yeah,
it's so true. Chester and
Burks. Wait, was that my mom? Is that Johnny Young? I think my mom may have.
Unless your mom's name is Edward, I don't think so there, Neil.
No, my mom's name is not Edward. The other thing, the only bad part about coming on with you guys is I have to turn your show down, and off. I'm listening to your show all morning. I literally have been listening, all week this week. And Dawn, you were just talking about, I know this isn't why you had me on, but you were just talking about just getting to the bottom and the truth of these mm-hmm. mRNA. And I know you don't want to talk to me about it because you want a medical expert. That's not me. But I think that my experience with this is similar to so many people's. And that is this. My son, 2 years ago, received a full college scholarship, over $100,000 to go to college. And I won't, say mm-hmm. what college. And this was 2023, the summer of 2023. And he was required to get vaccinated. And so here we are as parents with an 18-year-old son having to sit down and make the agonizing choice of accepting a full college scholarship that he worked his entire life in order to get, and getting vaccinated. And that's for a kid who, I mean, we adopted this kid from Ethiopia when he was 5 years old. And it's agonizing to think we brought him over here because of just the horrible conditions, the abject poverty that he lived in. And now we may be putting something in his body, for the sake of, you know, free college. And he had a pre-existing heart murmur, and we tried to get exceptions. And I just think there's so many more people out there who have those type of stories that deserve, we deserve the truth and we deserve the answers, because policy has to be informed by truth, or else it's bad policy. And so legislatively and politically, we always look forward and we never hold anybody accountable. And so to bring it, I guess, all the way back to these Texas politicians, I think that even though maybe it's politically risky, it's the right thing to do to hold these people accountable, yes, to the job that they pledged an oath to do.
It's so and true.
That's all that people are asking for, I think. I don't think people are asking for anything more. And I don't think it's too much.
And, you know, one of the things that I know you spoke about, you and your wife, and you have not only an adopted child, you have a big family. You have a bunch of kids, busy family. Educator, deciding to run for Congress. I know it was exhausting, but you have a lot of love in the community. But one of the things that we also talked about was speaking about protecting girls in sports, thinking about schools. Beth Ann Rossica, Broad and Liberty, just had her on last Friday, and we'll get her on again to talk about her latest piece. But, you know, she was filing these Freedom of Information requests, doing great investigative work, and finding out that across our region, the vast majority of schools are still doubling down on this issue, meaning that it remains an issue where girls are not protected in sports, locker rooms, bathrooms, etc., including where you are in Chester and Berks counties.
Correct, yes. And that was my, you know, one of my first, like, sort of realizations after the election was over. I was, you know, there's sort of, it's an emotional, you know, the party, the Republican Party and the message nationally won, right? Like we won, you know, people accepted our ideas. They rejected the ideas of the far left progressives, and we won. Now, obviously, it didn't happen here in Chester County, but I think there's, you know, sometimes it's every election to me is a step in one direction or the other. And so we have to make sure they're always steps in the right direction. And so I think there's a future for Chester County to really to wake up and come back to their conservative Republican roots. But my biggest fear was always going to be that people are going to think, oh, our schools are now safe. Mm-hmm. And I knew this wasn't going to be the case because like businesses, you're seeing it now, like businesses are pivoting, right? We've talked extensively about American Eagle ads and everything else. Businesses are dropping it because for them, it was just something to check a box off to say, hey, we don't want to be accused of any of these things, so we're just going to do this. But the ideas, these divisive ideas, this idea of, you know, and really this is boils into like the whole DEI initiatives too. Yes. They were birthed in higher education and then, you know, also to an extent K-12 education. And so I always knew that these districts, they may tweak policies, it might be a wink, wink, nod, nod, but none of them had any intention of shifting. And what I really want the people, you know, not just of Chester County and Pennsylvania, but I want people to understand that you have to ask questions. You've got, I mean, I know it's really, really challenging. In an age like we live in today, where all information should be readily accessible, why is the process so onerous to just get to the truth of what is going on in your son or daughter's school? And that's, you know, that's something that people need to know. You know, if you're conservative, hey, the election's won. It doesn't mean that your public school is going to change. Trump issues an executive order. It doesn't mean that they intend to comply. In fact, I talked to an attorney friend of mine, and he said, you know, as far as Title IX interpretation, it's essentially the Wild Wild West. Now everybody, you know, because Biden, he changed language, and school districts were quick to get on board with that. Oh yeah, we like this, and they would fall back on, well, this is a executive order, and then Trump issues an executive order, essentially reversing it back to what it had been since 1972. And And now the districts are going, well, we're not sure. We're confused. We need to consult legal, you know, legal counsel. And so essentially any interpretation goes until this really becomes settled, you know, whether it's at the Supreme Court or, you know, districts who are losing money decide, we're going to reverse course.
Well, Neil Young, we want to keep in touch. We want to hear from you when you're ready. That you're in the midst of it right now, but it's great. We want to keep you close and make sure this time around that you are celebrated and supported from day one, and make sure that everybody understands what's at stake here. Neil Young, it's great to hear your voice. Great to talk to you.
Thank you, Dawn. It's always great to talk to you and see you. And I'll try to get out to another event. But in the meantime, I really appreciate you guys.
We appreciate you. Neil Young, great name, great boss. I did promise Neil, so I'll keep my promise. He's got to come down. When he relaunches and does what he's going to do next, he wanted to come, you know, in the bus. I don't know if we're going to, Dan, maybe we'll be on the bus. We'll broadcast.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You know, we can have some fun with it.
Amazing. Can you play us a couple songs?
Yeah. We'll bring some harmonicas.
We can ask him about Woodstock?
Yeah.
Oh.
Some harmonicas. Maybe Dan Borowski.
Sorry.
I don't know if Dan plays a harmonica. Maybe Jimmy Kelly plays a harmonica. We'll find out.
I heard he does play a mean harmonica.
He's, you know.
Yeah.
855-839-1210. So much going on. So much to update you on. It's, man, fast-breaking developments. Stay right there.
We got to hear about Marvin E. Cans there, don't we?
Okay. Got to talk about my guys at Marvin E. Cans. Actually, I had a little warning thing go up. I don't know. It's the Therminator. I don't even know what it is on my HVAC. You know, the little digital thingy?
Yeah.
And Larry, he goes like this. My husband's like, Dawn, it's blinking. Do something.
Doesn't that just mean it needs to be changed to the battery?
No, it's a little warning. And then I look at the thing and it's a Therminator. I don't know what's going on. But I got to call my guys. That's where I was leading.
Sounds like what my friend called himself in high school.
The Therminator.
Did not do too well with the lady.
Marvin E. Cans. If Jonathan Cans and the guys are lit, they're like laughing right now. They're like, oh, geez. She sees what? The Therminator. There's no such thing. Marvin E. Cans. That's why I've got my guys. Air conditioning. They always come out. You know, they're great guys. I trust them. They're local, family owned and operated, and they've been in business for generations. In operation. And by the way, military founded by a real military hero, and that's Jonathan's grandfather. So, you know, they come out every season. They're due out anyway, but I did get the warning light. Here's the thing. If Marvin E. Cans, if they come out and they assess and they feel like your entire unit needs to be replaced, they're going to give you an honest assessment at a fair price. I can promise you that. And hopefully install a high-efficiency Trane AC unit. That's T-R-A-N-E. Hard to stop a train. That's the saying. You can visit them. Marvin E. Cans, KANZE.com. I cannot say enough about them. I trust these guys. They're really good guys. I like them. You know that Jonathan Cans was here as part of our, actually, Travis Mannion fundraiser that we had. So a lot of you got to meet him in person. But it's Marvin E., KANZE.com. Marvin E. Cans. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.